Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
May 21st, 2024, Glenn Rubenstein, Flobo Boys.
Yeah!
Night to talk about NXT. Oh my God, Battleground is just weeks away. Tickets go on sale this Friday, pre-sale this Thursday at the UFC Apex. No one I know is coming to Las Vegas for this or Double or Nothing, and I'm bummed.
Are you going to NXT?
Yeah, I'm going to NXT for sure. Double or Nothing, TBD.
I may do it. I work the Saturday, but I may make the drive out there.
Okay, well, if you're out here for NXT, yeah. then that'll be good times. Someone else was gonna go as well, but apparently Bad Bunny is in Puerto Rico that weekend. So So we meet.
Oh wait, I can't go to Battleground. I'm covering it for Wrestling Inc. I forgot about that.
Isn't that a weird conundrum?
Yeah. Well, I'm at their party. Should be someone do an after show?
Why don't we just get our phones and get in the parking lot and just, you know, hop on StreamYard while we're exiting the UFC Apex? I mean, it can't be that big of a venue. It can't be that hard to get out there and get on the air.
240p and shaking the camera. I'm like, oh, this is the best.
After Evolution, I crashed the Wrestling Inc. podcast because like, Becky, like I was sitting on my commemorative chair and waiting for my Uber to pick me up just to share how much Becky versus Charlotte, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen live.
Flex. So are you pro Evolution 2 or are you past that?
No. I think anything that results in more of a showcase for the women's roster in WWE is a good thing. Yeah. NXT does a great job week in and week out. SmackDown and Raw, it feels seasonal. It ebbs and flows. And look, I'm a fan, and NXT's figured this out. I don't know why the main roster doesn't do this, but NXT has figured out you can tell a storyline with women that doesn't involve a championship belt.
True. I mean, NXT is kind of in a pit now because half the roster is in the tournament, but I hear you. Usually they can, so it's pretty dope.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see about Battleground. Might be covering it from the parking lot. Might be, I don't even know what's next door to the Apex, but we'll see. We'll look into this. So we got some news stories before we hop into night. Tonight was pre-taped last week, by the way. So here's the problem with the pre-tape show. Anything amazing that happened live, you've already heard about. A lot of the results you've already heard about. We're going to talk about them tonight. We're going to talk about some of the backstage stuff that wasn't spoiled, including speculation on who Roxanne Perez's opponent might be for Battleground.
Yeah, that was definitely something that I got swerved on. I don't know, jumping ahead. I thought it'd been a little advice, but it wasn't the case.
Yeah. So hit me off with some news. What do we got going on?
Well, one of the bigger news stories here from the global footprint, WWE has decided for the first time since 2019, it's heading back to the land of the rising sun. Japan is having a three-day tour, two cities, two in Tokyo and Osaka over there this summer. I think in July, is it? Yeah, July 25th through the 27th, the three straight nights of action. I'm a big fan of Beast from the East, that special that was on the network, and being able to go out there is always a cool vibe. So WWE back in Japan.
Oh, man. I wonder if they're going to do Hawaii on the way there or the way back.
That'd be kind of cool.
They usually do. Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, so they go to Hawaii. Is it yearly or is it of the year.
I feel like it's been a while since they've been to Hawaii. But I just think it's neat when they go to any market they haven't been to in a while. I'm sure Japan's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, if I was in town, I'll definitely stop because I think WWE is getting better at localizing their product, you know,
yeah.
when they have in the merchandise too, when they go to a new town. So, or a different town. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. We'll see. We'll see what that amounts to. I mean, they're such, I mean, isn't it weird right now? The level that they're operating on.
Well, on our last time we were together, I made fun of that promo that Triple H did for the WrestleMania thing. But yeah, they're going pretty good. Yeah,
they're everywhere.
They're on fire. And I like the idea that it's become a global thing. One of the cool things about sport wholesale has been like the rise of F1, right? And this weird, not weird, but it's interesting Street Fighter kind of thing where you get in the plane, you go to a different country, you see the same product, but a different locale. I got to go to countries I've never been to if it wasn't for wrestling. It's great. I don't know how long they can do it, how long it can last. I hope that it goes on indefinitely because these crowds have shown they are starving for wrestling content.
Yeah. I think that, well, Triple H, let's not forget that a couple of years ago, there was that famous NXT map that talked about NXT Japan, NXT Europe. I mean, I don't know. International. Hey, right now, they're operating on such a high level and these gates that they're doing. I could see them getting that idea again to revive that.
That was totally one of the best or greatest missed opportunities. NXT Europe, NXT India.
Yeah. It could happen.
That would have been fantastic. And it's, well, I'm still holding out hope for NXT Europe at this point.
Yeah, isn't it weird? Because even during COVID, they were like NXT Europe launching in January 2022.
Yeah, so they made the announcement around SummerSlam, and then it was supposed to be the next year. Because I had a podcast that broke down UK. And
that's
so
right.
I tried it for 2 years. I was like, it's not coming. Let's go on hiatus till they come back. And they never did. I was like, all right, screw it. I'm bringing back the show anyway. But yeah, it was interesting.
That still tickles me that you said. NXT, no, not niche or obscure enough. Ring of Honor, no, not niche or obscure enough. TNA, no, too big. NXT yeah. Europe.
They totally retweet the content. No one cared in NXT Prime or USA, but Eddie Dennis, my homeboy. Ashton Smith, my boy.
There you go. There you go. What else is going on in the news?
Speaking of the international flavor of thing, recent WWE signee Julia is going to be out indefinitely with a hand injury she suffered at a recent untelevised event, pay-per-view event, actually not pay-per-view. Julia has been marked to head out down to Orlando, got that recent ovation on Stand Deliver weekend, but we don't have a timetable for her return as she recovers. Glenn, sad day.
How does that work too? I mean, it is sad. Like, let me just state that first and foremost. I know there were plans for Heat Wave for her to already potentially be in a title picture. We think that she's going to be a long running champion, another Shayna, another Asuka. But my question is, if you get injured in a WWE ring, you have, I mean, you're completely taken care of. Now your contract is frozen or delayed, but WWE takes care of everything because she was doing this with, I believe it's the Marigold promotion. And it was brand new, and this affects WWE. I hope WWE is going to fully take care of her and support her the same way they would, because this was done in concert and cooperation with their relationship with Marigold.
Well, I don't know about the legalities and everything, but I assume that she was featured on Stand Deliver programming. She was already a WWE talent, and so she will be subcontracted for that event. So, yeah, I would assume WWE will do things, but again, I'm just speculating at this point.
Yeah. No, I thought at Battleground we might see a stare down with her and someone.
I think so. I think that was a plan because, yeah. I mean, I love NXT Underground, but this one is, and we'll, again, I'm jumping ahead. It was announced way too soon with the person I thought would have been the number one contender. Mm-hmm. They weren't, so.
Okay, well, wish her a speedy recovery, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. So there is something, man, I mean, this is the challenge with having such a large, active roster of female talent in WWE is it seems like, and because it's developmental, now granted this didn't happen in WWE, a WWE ring, but it is crazy when you think about in NXT, all the what ifs, you know, if Blair Davenport hadn't been in that parking lot.
Sorry. I guess that's not UK in my brain. I was like, oh, Blake Davenport didn't injure her leg against Mako Satomura. She could have been. But you're right. Yeah, if she was in the parking lot, a lot of people would have been a lot more safe, you know? The asphalt.
And even way post call up, somehow I'm pretty sure Blair Davenport's responsible for this with Julia as well.
I would love to see like the parking lot now be like this rainbows and sunshine and this picnic tables out there because it's the main roster.
That should have been the opening to the NXT after Blair got called up. Just everybody like just a cookout in the parking lot with everybody just lounging. It's the most peaceful day ever in NXT.
Sure is.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Well, we got some bit of an update about the absence of Eddie Thorpe. Eddie Thorpe, one of my favorite guys on the NXT roster. And even though I thought NXT Underground would be his signature match, wasn't the case. Has been pretty banged up the past couple of weeks trying to recover from a hip injury. And although there's no timetable for Eddie Thorpe's return, I would love to see him back in a white and gold ring soon.
Yeah, he's great, man. I think he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. Alicia A is saying the NXT parking lot was dangerous before Blair. No, it was always Blair. We just didn't know.
See, this is what we call it. It's called a retcon. Alicia's right, but all of a sudden it was. I ran to Aleister Black. It wasn't Blair Davenport. She was in Japan at the time.
No, you don't know that.
Well, Nikki Cross knew. I knew.
Yeah, Kenta, Blair Davenport. Mm-hmm. And as Kevin Owens said, it's a damn shame. What else we got?
Well, according to our high and mighty producers over there in the ivory tower that is Wrestling Inc., we have some updates about Tommy Dreamer. Is he a Hall of Famer? Well, he should be. About Ava Reign's reign as NXT general manager. In fact, Dreamer said, quote, I think she does a phenomenal off about her age and being on television. I think she carries all of her segments well. It's a lot to remember when you're in that type of role. And Dreamer gave all the praise, and he continues and says, quote, stuff like that. Yes, who was she talking to? Where was she going from this? These are all the snippets I think WWE is doing extremely well in dropping clues about as well. So listen, Ava Reign is on the NXT. She's a general manager. She's done pretty okay for herself. We have 3 full-time general managers. How do you think she stacks up in the grand scheme of things?
I mean, I think she's doing a good job. It's interesting how she's actually more interactive on a weekly basis than Nick Aldis or Adam Pearce are. I feel like Nick and Adam get into it normally with like one talent each week or like one feud each week. Right. But I feel like Ava's mixing it up, more appearances throughout the show. I think she's doing a really good job. That being said, you know, we haven't seen Joe Gacy lately. And I think Ava and Joe Schism might be running NXT.
Okay, so that's the thing I always had an issue with. And then I think it never got explained how she was in a cult, went into Shawn Michaels' office, and then became general manager. And we never saw
power.
We never saw Shawn Michaels on camera again. We saw him backstage. We saw him on .com. But is Shawn Michaels okay?
We did see force? Him. I agree with you. This could be a 9-to-5 situation. Rest in peace, Dabney Coleman. They could have HBK some more, but we did see him in the ring with CM Punk.
Oh yeah, but that was not canon. CM Punk and Cena and Taker being on NXT didn't really happen. It happened, but it didn't really happen. But that said, we have a new general manager who's a bit more hands-on. I like it. I do like the fact people get to complain, and she does slide into that role very well, but I don't know if that is going to be a story beat that's going to pay off, or it's kind of like a thing we have to forget about. She was in a cult with Joe Gacy.
I mean, cults pull the strings in the high reaches of power. If movies and TV have taught me anything, whether it's Rosemary's Baby or The Omen or The Wicker Man and the Wicker Man remake or Arlington Road, kinda. Dr. Parallax Beast. View. You know? What? Yeah. Schism. And this is just the start. Schism's taking over NXT. Next, they're taking over Raw and SmackDown.
I don't know. I don't see that. If I'm Ava, you can be in a group and terrorize people or have a nice little job, get some benefits. You know what I mean? Stack some paper, handle out some decisions. It's great.
You know, the greatest trick Schism ever pulled was convincing you it no longer exists.
Oh, that's deep. No one else did that before.
No, I just came up with that off the top of my head.
That's gimmick infringement. Oh, I love it.
No, I think she's doing a really good job. But it's interesting, though, because they could. And by the way, so it's funny with the Wyatt puppet in the background, because Joe Gacy rumored to be part of the Wyatt Six, the new Wyatt family. Wouldn't that be interesting? Actually, interesting on Joe Gacy character development front, where he's like, I was doing my own cult thing. It didn't really work out. Thought I might join another one.
That's what I'm saying. Do cults have mergers? Like, a corporate ministry is one thing, but you sit around going, man, you know, I gotta increase my return on investment and growth year over year. Let me merge with another cult somewhere down the street. Is that how that works?
What was that Creed Bratton quote on The Office where he said, I've been a cult leader and a cult follower. More money in being a leader, more fun being a follower.
Oh, that's smart.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Joe Gacy, you know, who knows? But it's exciting, though, and I like that this opportunity is still there. I like that the loop on Schism is not fully closed.
Right. Even though it could be a Wyatt thing. I'm still, the jury's still out on the Wyatt Six thing, where how far it reaches, but it'd be kind of cool if there was someone in power that had those tentacles, you know?
God, I mean, it'll be interesting. But the thing about the main roster, though, if Joe Gacy's called up, a lot of these guys getting called up to the main roster are not referencing their NXT history at all.
Right.
You might hear, I mean, like with Braun Breaker, oh, he was a dominant force in NXT, and that's about it.
How do you feel about that? Because I feel like there's times where people put over, like, oh, man, it's Carmelo Hayes. NXT is golden. And other times Lyra comes up and she's like, oh, yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, Shinsuke Nakamura's debut in that first feud with Dolph was one of the worst feuds I've ever seen.
Really?
Dolph's promos. Remember Shinsuke's promos? Remember Shinsuke where he was painting that week? That was the entire promo. Just him painting.
That's not even the worst Shinsuke stuff. Shinsuke and Jinder, Shinsuke and AJ, I mean, Shinsuke and Cody. I mean, it's all.
The Dolph thing was pretty bad. And they was comparing him to, like, literally treating him as if he were Michael Jackson.
Kind of is, though.
Yeah. Sure. It was bad. I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. But I think Ava's doing a really good job. And look, man, having a strong GM that gets involved in storylines makes for a better TV show, because ultimately a good pro wrestling show is a show about the wrestling company. It's the Muppet Show.
Wow. That's a very succinct way of putting it. And I agree with you 100%. I guess the question I always have is the consistency of things, right? Like, and I think I talked about this last week too. How could we have some matches have drawn out contract signings, or other matches could be, Ava, put me in the match, you're in. So I wish that gets figured out. But as far as having an authority figure to come out and say, hey, stop your bickering, we're having this match, I'm on board.
It's cool. And the Schism thing, just like, that's another layer and dimension if that somehow ties back into this.
Hell yeah.
In fact, I mean, there hasn't been anything like that. We haven't had like a good GM storyline in a while. So if it turned out that NXT got taken over, I mean, forget the new Wyatt family. If the reveal of this is that NXT has been taken over and infiltrated by a cult at the highest level of power, and they're running things, and then you have that angle that Karrion Kross teased about Black and Gold never dies, and you've got the Black and Gold guys coming back to wrest control of NXT from the clutches of the cult. That's television. That's
good. I was on board to say Karrion Kross, but that's just me.
The Final Testament is going to free NXT. The Final Testament also kind of a cult. So that's cult wars.
Is it a cult? We don't even know. It looks like a motorcycle club / tactical games group / meetup. And what's the mustache he had? Okay, whatever. I have no idea.
I feel like Karrion Kross is trying some different hairstyles and facial hairstyles to try and figure out what suits him. And I applaud that.
It's like that game you had in the kid with little, like, you know, iron shavings. Like, every week it's something else. It's like,
wait, he's Wooly Willy? He's Wooly
yeah.
Willy.
Yeah, it's like a ponytail, a mustache. Now I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, it's not very toyetic. Dig it. Yeah, well, it's more toyetic because they can issue us. If you could get a Karrion Kross figure with every different hairstyle and every different look, he's like, Karrion Kross and Scarlet are like satanic Ken and Barbie.
They're not going to make a toy every week. This is from the May 17th edition of Raw.
They should be like the Black Mass, devil worshiping Ken and Barbie with different outfits.
I'm on board for the kids, you know?
Yeah, for the kids. That's the most toyetic. And it's like the boys like it because it's a little dark and a little edgy, and the girls like it because you can change the outfits.
Well, are you pitching me satanic?
Satanic Ken and Barbie. The Final Testament.
We are never going to win an Emmy this way. Go on. You know that.
Right? I think we're going to win a Peabody. Maybe a Pew. Maybe a Pulitzer, because this is vision.
Not even a drama desk. We're not getting any of this.
Yeah,
stuff.
No. I'm not submitting to the drama desk. That's for nerds. Anyhow, that's the news. Let's see if Farmer had to beat us to it and saying that Jack said Kross was like Mr. Potato Head on last night's podcast.
Hey, look, this is the A show. No, I'm just kidding.
I would love it. Jack is Farmer. The A show. No, I love Jack. Satanic Ken and Barbie.
Hey, yeah.
We open tonight, starting off hot with Fallon Henley versus Thea Hale with Chase Yu. Women's North American Championship ladder match qualifier. Thea Hale lost to Fallon Henley, her former friend. What is up that they don't see in Thea, man? Like,
it's a weird vibe with Thea Hale because on one hand, you're stuck with Chase Yu, which is a story that it is long in the tooth. And nothing's really happening. But then also you have the character of Brynley Rhys, which is really occupying your high energy space. And so Thea has not much to do, but at the same time, how else you get people to boo Fallon Henley than pinning the person everybody likes? So I get it, but it just seems like Chase, you can't string two wins together without a problem.
I mean, look, Chase, you is like 20% of NXT storytelling. This is the 90210 and Thea Hale is the Donna Martin.
Wow.
Donna Martin graduates. Yeah. Spoiler. But
are you talking about the original or the revival?
The original. I didn't watch any of the revivals in 90210. But
that's fine.
But Thea is a main character of NXT. And I think that she's improved greatly in the ring. She's still coming along, but they put her in this storyline with JC, they're putting her in this with Fallon. Like, I don't think Fallon's going to go on to the North American Championship. I think Thea and Fallon will have a feud now. But it's like, at what point does Thea start getting wins and coming up in her career? You know?
I'm with you on some things. She is a main character. If I had to have an NXT production truck or little, like, click this video, Thea Hell is up there. But they had a golden opportunity to break Thea up with the throwing in the towel storyline, with the Chase You Going Bankrupt storyline, and they all got resolved. And so now Thea Hell has become the Rey Mysterio of NXT, where you trust everybody, and everyone ends up screwing her over. So I'm not on board with this, but I don't know where would you put her. Now, I'm not saying there's not a space for her on the roster, but it's like, she's been with Chase You for so long. Do you see anything else?
I mean, I think you have to have her go. This is where they botched it with the JC storyline. I understand maybe there was something more there. But that was a good storyline where JC took over Chase U. That never, I mean, again, I've said this on this podcast, I feel like a broken record. The writers feel like they have so many ideas for Chase U storylines that they don't actually bother to see one through to its natural conclusion before they start the next one.
Right. That happens sometimes. Yeah.
But it's an issue because it's like JC should have fought. The story should have been that JC said because she saved Chase U, she had a claim to lead it. And then Andre Chase should have been unhappy. JC should have made a lot of changes. We should have had like 2 or 3 weeks of tension of like, the new school uniforms are all black leather. And Andre's right. Like, JC, hey. Right. And then ultimately, she should have still gone negative on Thea like she did. But we should have had Thea versus JC for control of Chase U.
I'm with that. And if I had to guess, I think the powers that be, they, WCW reference, they're afraid to have Andre Chase and Duke Hudson go on their own. I feel like they could make it lost in the shuffle. They said this idea is better than what they are, because I felt like it was going towards that. And the quick resolution of we've made calendars seems so TGIF. It came out of nowhere. I was like, did someone just say, oh, look, we can't do this? And that's the question I had, because now I feel like we're in the zombies. I like Raleigh Osborne. I love the love angle stuff, but the Ridge stuff is like totally not making it better.
No, do not just, put Ridge. Weird. Ridge, no. Ridge bad.
Ridge is bad.
Just
for the storyline, guys.
Yeah, for the, I mean, look, he's a talented wrestler. I genuinely feel for the situation he's in, the terrible storyline lampshading the reality of him going back to NXT. Like it's just a bummer. The reality of it is a bummer, but the way they're portraying it, it's just kind of like, oh man, like, you know, this isn't you got peanut butter in my chocolate. This is like, oh, you put dirt in my jar of peanut butter. How am I supposed to eat this now? That was the least gross version I could think of that analogy. But you can't have Thea be the star pupil of Chase U and she just keeps losing matches. Like, so Chase U's storyline, if you look at it, has had some great twists and turns. It's had some great settings. They've had some good victories along the way, but if you look at the Thea part of this, Thea losing to Fallon, Thea needs to go on a revenge tour. Like, oh, she needs to defeat Fallon. She needs to defeat JC. Actually, her snapping and going heel would be, I was going to say, oh, that'd be adorable. That's not what you want, a heel turn. But I'm like, oh, that would be like, yes, give me, like, and I thought we were kind of getting that. Remember when she had that match against Tiffany Stratton and she was under JC's tutelage? And it was like, oh, Thea's pissed off now. This is going to be fun. But this is starting to just puzzle me why they're getting us so emotionally invested in characters that are just not ever notching. It's gone from being not, actually, you know what? It's gone from being 90210 to Freaks and Geeks, where you're this is like fun and kind of polished and kind of soap opera. And now you're like, okay, this is just too real. I don't want to like be a huge fan of this faction that just constantly takes L's week after week.
But yeah, you like the Final Testament? Make up your mind, Glenn.
The Final Testament's suck wacky. Too. Final Testament's wacky.
Wacky.
It's wacky. Right.
Okay.
I have love for sometimes. See, and this is where I get in trouble, Flobo.
Get in trouble.
No. This is why I get in trouble with things. Sometimes I love things because they're goofy and offbeat, and you could tell like somebody genuinely put their heart into it, but the execution is just like, oh no, that's just all wrong.
Oh,
like,
that's cool. Yeah. Too Fast and Furious. I get it.
Yeah. And I start off being like, oh, that's kind of whack, but I care or I like it. But then the weird thing is at some point something turns and I actually genuinely like it. Because I'm like, the fact that they keep doing it in the face of it being so of it not working, but they're like, oh, screw it, we're going to do it anyway. And we're going to cut these weird promos. And like, Karrion's hair is just going to get like crazier and crazier to the point where now he just looks like he's should be. He's starting to look like Joey Pants in Midnight Run, but with more hair. Like he's just starting to get this weird like loan shark look about him, and I'm like, okay, this is going so far off the rails now that maybe I'm kind of into it.
I'm with you with the rationale, because I felt that way about Tian Shaw, how that was started off as being goofy and dumb, but it was like, oh, this is cool, and then it was badass, and I wanted more about it. It was the best thing happening, at least to me, in the pandemic. But back to Chase U, the magic is gone. We've seen them win gold. We see them lose gold. Duke had that title or trophy for years and have any more. Remember when he played poker? It's like they need a reset, but I feel NXT is shifting from that 2.0 into this hybrid real, not real thing where any kind of editing to Chase U won't work. So they're kind of stuck in a 2.0 bubble, even though the whole show itself has moved on.
They need to... Thea's got to, if Thea stays in Chase U, she's got to win. Or she could win and turn heel and leave Chase U, but something has got to change. We can't have this angle just be heartbreak and frustration on a week in, a week out basis. By the way, adding Ridge Holland to it, it's a bummer, man. He is a sad bastard. And that's his gimmick. This is just like, oh, you remind me of my daughter. I remember what it was like to be young and have your future ahead of you, but now I'm old and I've failed and my life is arguably, I've lived more of it than I have ahead of me, and I'm Ridge Holland and I'm miserable.
He's sadder, like he had a wrestling podcast. No, I'm with you, man. I don't understand why Ridge was even involved in that at all. And plus now he's like feuding with Riley, which Riley is established as having a thing for Thea. So it's like, is this a love triangle? I don't know.
It's like, I'm the first person in my family to pretend to go to college. I'm Ridge Holland.
It's accredited.
But it's just, he is not the upgrade. Duke Hudson as the MVP. And by the way, Duke's poker room and Andre Chase's gambling addiction, like.
Yeah, I thought that was a culprit, really. I thought that was the original culprit. But
yeah. Well, we all connect the dots ourselves.
I know.
Yeah. We got to talk about something else because I'm going to go to university, Flobo. My dissertation paper is going to be on what went wrong with Chase U.
I'm going to give you an A right now.
I love Chase U, but go back even 2 months ago. I'm saying like this Chase U and the family, two best things in NXT. And actually both of them similar in how it's just kind of like they're not getting called up. And NXT is like, well, we got to put them on TV each week. They're not winning, but we got to keep them on TV.
I'm with you, but here's the difference. And this is why I'm jumping ahead. The family, even though I have my own issues with the family, it being a giant stereotype, and the accents don't line up because you don't really know where they're from, they've added people of value. Luca Crucifino fits in that group. They have done things outside of the arena. They've gone sit downs. They've drove around town. And then they also got elevated. Tony D is the Heritage Cup champion. Chase U has been the tag division, and they lose and lose and lose, and they win, and they lose and lose and lose. You don't move up at all. What are you doing together? And you're not the New Day. You're not even funny at the New Day. So what are you supposed to do?
I don't know. Well, Jasmine Nix attacked Thea Hale after the match. So that's, oh man, I was just going to make a joke. I was going to say, oh, Jasmine's the next one to get a dub over Thea. And like, no, this is wrong. Thea Hale needs to start winning matches.
Yeah, I agree.
This is scripted too, by the way. If anyone didn't know, like the NXT creative, they can decide at any point they want to have Thea start winning matches.
Yeah. Is it too late, though?
Well, I mean, do they think that the storyline is like she just keeps losing and losing and losing? She's not even losing due to anything really unfair or all that underhanded.
Yeah. Distractions, I guess, have been her name of the game. She's like, always, I'm close to winning, but outside interference caused her to lose, which is even more reason why she should break away. But if I had the book, which I don't, I would try to go and give a little bit of that pre-Chase U Thea Hill flair, have her lean back into the Greek heritage thing, have her be like the young, mighty Athena, but small, and work that. But you're worried about that because, again, Brinley Reese is basically doing her gimmick an hour apart. So,
well, Brinley tonight was a little different. We're going to talk about that.
We will.
But, okay, here's my pitch slash hope for Thea Hill. What if all of these L's are going to lead to a psychotic break? And it's like a Carrie situation, and she's got telekinetic powers, and she's going to get revenge on everyone.
I like Carrie. I like this. But in the grand history of wrestling, I want people to think about this too. When has a losing streak going to the, I'm frustrated, going to a Rampage ever put anyone over?
I'm thinking Carrie White had pig's blood dropped on her at the prom, and she got a massive win that night.
I'm talking about Bronson Reed at the Elimination Chamber. He's one of the most gory scenes in all of cinema. But you know what I mean, man. Losing streaks never.
I know, but
they never do.
Well, unless though it's that. Okay, so maybe she doesn't have telekinesis, but maybe then she snaps and then becomes unstoppable. Maybe she gets taken to the limit and then finally something changes.
It's not wrong. I think it works. I just think with someone as talented as Thea Hale, and by talented, I don't even mean in ring. I mean facials and getting emotions across. You could probably give her something else, and it might be something unique to her, but that's not a bad idea.
And by the way, where's Ariana Grace and Georgina?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Georgiana, what she's doing, but Ariana Grace was on Level Up 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but speaking of storylines, like, what's going on? Was there some change in NXT? No, was there some change in NXT creative recently? Because if you tell me, like, I'm thinking about the TV show I was watching a month ago, and I'm not saying that tonight was bad. I was actually reasonably entertained by tonight's NXT, but I feel like there's a lot of dangling threads.
I was not entertained. And the reason being that the show itself was great, but to your point, it feels like there is a holding pattern, right? We had Trick Williams not in a matchup. We had Obafemi not in a matchup. We had Roxanne Perez not doing anything of merit but a promo. It definitely feels like a holding pattern. So I get it. Backlash always tends to be the weaker pay-per-view of the year. I'm giving everyone a pass until King of the Ring. But these titles need opponents. We need more things. Getting to know what the heck's going on with Georgina. All that stuff.
Yeah. I'm hoping Battleground is a bit of a soft reboot, not a hard reboot, soft reboot.
4.0.
So let's talk about Nathan Frazier and Axiom versus the family with Tony D'Angelo and Adriana Rizzo. Do Tony D'Angelo and Solo Sikoa shop at the same menswear outlet?
It would make sense.
I mean, they probably were both friends in NXT, so.
Yeah, street champ. Gloves for Tony D. Yeah, I know it's interesting and I'm not knocking NXT because it happens a lot in wrestling, where you're a character that has to dress a certain way, but you have a certain budget. Because I'm like, anyone knows that cut is definitely off the rack, but that's just me. No, I like this one.
As someone who bought a suit recently, the tailoring was like $30 extra.
Hey, if you're lucky, sometimes bada boom.
And you tell me Tony D doesn't know some Italian tailors?
Why have to be Italian?
Well, because if you're buying Italian suits.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't know. But I saw that. I was like, yeah, that is definitely the Burlington special, which I have a couple of those myself. Like, I love Burlington Co. Factory. They're not paying me to say that. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to see here today.
I too enjoy the coats from the factory in Burlington. Good discounts. Alicia A said, I told you on Twitter, Glenn, they both deal with blood, so they have to wear red to cover it. There you go. Alicia A for the win.
Like Spartans. Spartans yes. Will burn.
This match was good, but Fraxium winning. I mean, okay.
Not a fan?
They're fine.
They're fine. But
blindsided by the OC after.
Well, I don't just gloss over the fact they won the Defender title successfully. How about Nathan Frazier? Never slow down. The artist formerly known as A-Kid, or is he somebody else? It's not really established that because
it was weird how they said A-Kid tonight.
Hey, I don't care. It's great. I like it. I think Axiom should be a solo act, but as they are together, I dig it.
Yeah.
Man. But the OC shows up. You're right.
The OC showed up. Attacked Fraxium. Battleground, I'm assuming. This match happens.
You are not enthused at all.
It's fine.
Battleground, I guess.
I think Fraxium is good in the ring. It's just his characters. It's just kind of...
To me, they're one of my favorite pairings of NXT. Like, yeah, if I'm at the water cooler, and do people still hang out at water coolers anymore? But like, yeah, I can't really describe Nathan Frazier. I can't really describe Axiom. But like, these super fast superheroes having like this like subdued banter kind of throws me back to like those How It Should Have Ended videos where Superman and Batman are at the coffee shop hanging out.
Except, speaking of superheroes, we had Apollo, you know, patrolling the streets. We had Scripps as a masked vigilante. Fraxium, I cannot think of any vignettes to date where they've been out fighting crime.
Oh, they would not fight crime. They'll talk about it while crime is happening outside.
That would be amazing.
Just like, actually bring the paper. Like, you see this? The farm subsidies are out of control. Things are just going in the background.
No. I think Axiom launched really strong as a character. But I don't know. I mean, I think their entrance is cool. I think they're really good in the ring. I'm just saying for a show that's so storytelling heavy, I think oftentimes it's just like, oh yeah, and they're in this match too.
I think as an adult, as somebody north of 30, and hey, look, I'm okay with my age. It's a hard sell to get my buddies to get into an Axiom match. But if I was 10 or 11 and Axiom got the run Tatanka did when I was a kid, I'll have all of the action figures, man. Like, I'm all about that. And the masked man from Madrid is so cool to say.
That is cool. 3Ms. It's cool. We had Wesley versus Joe Coffey versus Josh Briggs in a triple threat number one contenders match for the North American Championship with Obafemi on commentary. What'd you think of this triple threat and the win with Wesley and Joe Coffey both pinning Briggs?
I hate it because about 3 months ago, it looked like they were heating up Briggs to be the next big man on the roster, which makes sense because Dijak got called up. And so, yeah, I'm Josh Briggs. You break away from your tag team where you were holding gold and you just take pin after pin after pin with bad ribs. It's just getting double pinned is kind of embarrassing. I'd rather them just have it be a no contest and tell me fatal four way or just picking two. But that said, the match itself was okay. And I like the fact that Obafemi was on commentary, but he should have had a warm up match as well tonight.
Do you think Briggs and Brooks Jensen reunite?
No. I think the NXT tag team division does need a shot in the arm. And I do think we're going to see a lot more main roster talents coming down to cycle them out, but I would not try to revive any NXT tag teams.
Do you think we don't get to talk NXT enough?
Hell no.
I'm so glad we're doing this tonight.
Yeah.
But do you think given the little bit of a lull in the holding pattern we're in right now, does it make you really appreciate more that we might be, and we're only like, maybe a month out of this.
Okay.
But we might be moving past what was just another golden era for NXT.
Oof. It's hard to call it a golden era because even though it was great, it didn't get the kind of respect. I really felt like post 2.0 was me shouting, no guys, Carmelo is great. So like I personally like for the era on top. But I do think ebbs and flows are part of this. I mean, talk about the 2020 and 2021 years when the pandemic started and we had like the Way and those groups and that was kind of hot. But then 22 was kind of slow right before the launch. So I think it's part of the ebb and flow of NXT wholesale. My problem is that people are going to give NXT a chance now with it being on a bigger platform, with WWE being on fire right now, are going to be cheated because all the good things have happened over the last year and a half.
And I would say Carmelo and Trick would be that endpoint. I think Bayley and Sasha was an endpoint. There was a weird period. It picked back up when Shinsuke came in a few months later. And then Finn left, and then it became its own thing. Again, it's NXT is always like SNL in that people are coming and going. You're going to have your favorites, and you're always going to compare what's currently going on. So what was your favorite? I'm just saying right now, it feels like in the last 2 months or so, it's just kind of like declined a little bit with storytelling, right. Some of these threads getting dropped, some of these payoffs not happening. And right. I do think that you could look at Trick and Mello and be like, okay, that was the end of an era. And now after these call-ups, like now we've got to figure out what's next. So in many ways, like Battleground is going to be NXT's Backlash.
Yeah, you're going to have to. I think Trick and Carmella was, what, 2 full years of storytelling? Yeah. And I think that's the problem with NXT now. It isn't the lack of talent. It isn't the matches. It isn't even the characters. It's now we are in stories or our payoffs are being stretched. Like, again, I go back to Oba Femi, right? He's a monster. He's the ruler. He comes out every third week to cut a promo, and then he's on commentary. And I think by now he would have had a side quest to get him warmed up for his match at Battleground, if Battleground's a big deal. And I think like that's what NXT 2.0 would have done, you know, say, okay, to sell you on the fact on, you know, whoever that may be.
Well, let's talk about, since you didn't like the finish of that match with Wesley and Joe Coffey winning.
Don't Gallus. Do it like that, though.
Man, and maybe part of it is just Gallus does not do it for me on any level.
Go like, on.
Big tough guys who growl, like,
yeah,
eh.
That's Karrion Kross. That's the same thing Karrion Kross does.
He had a shaved head and a goatee. He was like Walter White if he worked out a lot and worshipped the devil.
Then he wouldn't need to do meth. He wouldn't need to sell it if he worked out.
He just really likes running his own business.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right.
Bye. Yeah.
For funsies.
Let's I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about who you have dubbed the new Thea Hale, Brinley Reese, in her losing battle. And by the way, Brinley Reese has toned it down. I think originally when she was talking about Brin Active, and I loved Brinley Reese originally because I was like, oh, her gimmick is she's like a fitness influencer. Right. Like on Instagram, like she should have started with a promo with like, so people have been asking me about my skincare routine lately, you know, or just like then like she should have been like promoting, ooh, all the big body Javi products. Like that should have been her influencer deal.
I miss that guy.
I miss, yeah. Why was that a thing for like a month and then nothing?
A month? I bought his merch. It hasn't shipped yet though. I wonder why. No. So to your point, you're absolutely right, Glenn. I do compare Thea Hale to Brinley Reese a lot because they're both her high energy. They're both like woohoo, much like how Thea Hale was. But you're seeing some development with Brinley now. She's kind of she's more fully positive. She's more a fitness influence. She's doing push-ups now, kind of taking the elements of other people like Sol Ruka, whatever you can do to get yourself over. So that's props to her. She's doing pretty well for herself. But if I'm Thea Hale, you have to still look at that and go, hey, that was my space. Like, I'm not comparing the two. When Oba Femi re-debuted, because he was on NXT in 2023, when he re-debuted, if I'm Odyssey Jones, I'm like, oh, crap. That's it. That was me. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you have to do that because until you are over, until you're a made person, you can be replaced by so many different archetypes. Oh.
So in a weird way, you didn't mean to do this, but you're saying Thea was MySpace and Brinley is Facebook.
I mean, it could be, but maybe it was Friendster. We don't know.
Oh, even Friendster. 20 years ago, everybody was on Friendster.
Heck yeah, man.
God, isn't that weird? I just looked at the guy. I'm like, yeah, 20 years ago, everybody was on Friendster.
You get to be a certain age, we can say things like 20 years ago and it still be relevant. And it's like, oh, crap, I am old. I've become my dad, my mom.
Yeah, it's super weird. I think Brinley, but again, she's losing to Jada tonight, so...
Look, Jada Parker, and this is straight facts. She trended nationwide.
Oh yeah,
Jada trended. NXT never trends ever. But when Jada Parker was on that screen, people are saying, "Screw the playoffs, the NBA playoffs. I'm watching Miss Parker." That is crazy.
Yeah. Well, Jada is going to the North American Women's Championship ladder match at Battleground. Then, in case you didn't pick up on it from the first two vignettes, Wendy Chu is coming back. She's awake and she's ready to return to action.
Yeah. If you are a level up watcher like myself, she'd appear on last week's episode, getting the dub against a very game Ren Sinclair.
So, Ava was on the phone saying she talked to Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis, and she said they've come to an agreement, and Roxanne's going to find out who her challenger is for the NXT Women's Championship at Battleground. She's going to learn that next week. Who do you think it is from the main roster?
Who? I do not have a guess. I was like, well, it should be someone that has some sort of backstory with Roxanne, but she's pretty much a clean slate. So you think about somebody who is talented, who's game, but doesn't have a dance partner right now. I mean, is that really anyone I can think of?
I mean, if Lyra doesn't win Queen of the Ring, Lyra could want a rematch, but that's not...
No, she's not main roster enough.
I know. I mean, you could kind of do that storyline-wise because it was a triple threat last time, so Lyra wants it one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So that kind of works. I mean, actually, okay, so thinking of it from a story point of view, that makes all the sense in the world, but that is not a... it's not a great payoff to a tease like this.
Yeah, and if it's someone like who's a face, like if it's Naomi, it'd be like, oh, okay. And that's not like a Naomi necessarily, but it's like you, the person that faces Roxanne has to make her seem more vicious. And it's not going to feel good if Roxanne like beats up Naomi in all her glory. Glory?
Oh, there you go. But it's not, they're not going to bring Becky back again. It'd be cool if they did, but
I mean, Becky was game, but yeah, I think she's kind of overexposed. Again, not her fault, but I feel like Becky was everywhere like for the past year.
Yeah. Let's look at the women's roster. Let's come up with some...
We got some suggestions in the chat. See that?
Okay. What's the chat think?
Julian thinks it's Sheeta.
Probably not Sheeta.
Heck yeah!
Piper, I mean, but this is for a pay-per-view match or a PLE match. Tickets haven't gone on sale yet. Now, granted, it's a small venue. I think it holds like 1,000 people at the UFC Apex.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Brix, happy birthday.
What? Happy birthday, Chris Brix. Oh, wait. From Glenn? Never mind. I take it back. You didn't ask me to do it. I'm okay, not jealous.
What if... Okay, so let's see. It's not Alexa Bliss.
Liv Morgan?
Liv Morgan. I mean...
My revenge tour.
Yes. What about
Indy Hartwell?
I mean,
it's impressive. What's up, Ebony Washington? What's going on?
I'm just trying to think like who would be pay-per-view that we can like really tout this.
Whatever it is, it's not going to main event. So it could be anybody. It could be Meechin. It could be anyone in the main roster.
Isn't really. Meechin in the ladder match? She qualified?
I don't think she qualified for the ladder match. Is
okay.
She?
I don't know. But I mean, that wouldn't be a surprise. Right. I don't know. Yeah, there's no one that I'm seeing that's popping out that I'm like, oh, that would be.
No, Sol Ruka, Last Legend, Jada, and Fallon qualified for the ladder match. But Meechin was in the combine.
Okay. Meechin. I mean, it could be Kari, could be Io. I think anyone who doesn't win Queen of the Ring is fair game. Actually, it'd be amazing if it was. No, they're not going to have whoever wins Queen of the Ring do it and lose.
Tegan Knox, Electra Lopez.
Okay.
Stephanie McMahon. There we go. I'm all grown up.
Okay. We'll see. Now. But we assume Roxanne's getting the win.
Yeah, they would have to.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Let's see what happens. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, I could tell by looking at your face.
No, I'm just I legit, you know what it is? I don't know how excited I want to get. Oh, you know what's interesting? I'm looking at the WWE women's roster page. And there's a lot of wrestlers. Every female wrestler in NXT, SmackDown, and Raw here is on TV. And then I'm down in the S's. And you know who's on here? Stevie Turner.
Yeah, she was on Level Up a month ago. She tagged with Blood Devonport. Yeah.
But why? What's going on with Stevie Turner not being on NXT?
I don't know. I have no idea. Her moveset has changed because she has changed her moveset. So she's now doing a powerhouse thing. But yeah, that's one of the craziest crimes of not seeing Stevie Turner on TV.
And she's a hacker, so she should be able.
Yeah, I never got that.
Hack into the computer.
If she's already in the fourth dimension, why is she hacking into mine? That makes no sense.
She's great. I don't understand what they don't see in her.
I think she got squeezed out, man. I think when you have like characters that are like selfie takers or influencers, they may look like good ideas on paper, but how do you express that in wrestling?
And it always becomes anonymous.
Okay. You set me up.
You know who would put on a banger of a match with Roxanne Perez?
Scripps.
Too soon, man. Too soon. According to that interview,
hackers and whatever.
No, I've got it. I've got the perfect person, the perfect woman to take on Roxanne Perez.
Okay, so she's short, she's small. So I think it's some Raquel Rodriguez.
No, I believe she's still having issues with
right. Sorry.
Zelina, Beer Money said the same thing in there. Zelina Vega.
Wow. Isn't she not injured? That's because she was supposed to be in the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Is Zelina injured?
Well, she got pulled from the tournament. I'm not sure if she's injured, but okay, it was said on air that it was an injury that caused her to be pulled because she was reigning Queen's Crown, which is the same thing, I guess. Baby Ice got it right. Make us out of more. Like that's somebody that needs one more match. If she's around and available and wants to do it, she needs like a retirement match or one more match or.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we'll find out next week on NXT. Lexus King trying to impress Mr. Stone. But Dante Chen was out there with Mr. Stone. And Dante Chen beat Lexus King. It's funny, for as much as they build up his character as being like the ultimate D-bag, you'd still think he would get wins, but they do not have a problem with just handing him copious L's.
He could beat Sean Spears a couple times. Why the heck not? I like Lexus King.
I love Lexus King.
He is a throwback to a bygone era, a late 90s WCW guy. And I mean that with all due respect. I'm not trying to crown the guy. But Dante Chen, and I love the fact the crowd gave him such that response, because if you watch Level Up, he's basically the Level Up champion. He wrestles every Friday night. So he came out and people were just like losing their minds. And it was just kind of cool to see, because that's what Level Up is. That's what NXT is. It's picking your pony early and seeing how far they go. And if they make it to the top, then that's great. So props to him.
I love Level Up. I wish they had stories on Level Up.
Just wish it wasn't like that weird thing. If you can't watch it live, you have to wait to the next day on Hulu or wait a month for Peacock. That to me is not good. But the show itself, Friday nights, like Dante Chen's theme music to me is it's Friday night at the SmackDown. Chill out, grab a beverage, and watch some wrestling.
Nice. So what'd you think of this match?
I think it was pretty solid. I mean, Dante, you have an opportunity with Dante to really make sure that he had the opportunity to succeed. And so this was it. It was a prime time on the show. It was great. Lexus King shows he can slip on the banana peel. And I know that looks like a loss for him, but guys who can do that tend to have long runs in the company. Yeah. We're talking about Heath. We're talking about Dolph. We're talking about Baron Corbin. So everybody won over that matchup here tonight. Oh, and Ava's huge. Like, physically, she towered over Mr. Stone. I was like, dang.
Yeah, she's got presence and gravitas. And I think that is... we don't talk about that enough with wrestlers. How, like, just, you know, and that's what hurt Roxy on her first championship run. It's what hurt Cora Jade when she was... when she was a face, and its size has part of it, but you don't have to tower over someone to carry yourself like a superstar. And so I think Ava has got that.
I also think that's why, even though she's only been in limited matches, the internet, well, one of the reasons why the internet is gravitating towards Jada Parker, because she comes out looking like somebody who fights, and that is super important in a combat sport.
Yeah, no, I agree. So after that match, we had Trick Williams out talking to the crowd. What did you think of this promo? Confronted by Noam Dar, Metaphor, accusing Trick of being behind, confronted by Noam Dar, accusing Trick of being behind attacking Noam Dar, but it was Gallus.
Conflicted. Here's what I like. Trick Williams is your champ, and he really has, a good dance partner in Ora Mensa. I love the Last Legend story that's brewing, and I like the fact that we got Javon involved, because, again, maybe not be a main event talent now, but at least he can say he can hang with the big boys. What I don't like is his positioning in the show and the fact that Trick Williams is another person who's a champion or in that champion's conversation who's not having a match. Trick Williams got off this crazy run with Carmelo Hayes. You're telling me it's a new chapter, it's a new era, but he's also not fighting like Obafemi. He's not fighting like Roxanne Perez. Someone has to be a workhorse in that brand, and it should have been Trick.
It's kind of weird that they looked at the calendar and they're like, we've got all these ideas, but we got to wait till we debut on the CW.
Maybe.
Which is a while. That's not happening like in July.
Right.
I don't know. Just a thought.
I'm hoping the Battleground is a reset. I'm hoping that we go full bore. I know there's kind of like this propensity to wait to the big shows, like whatever War Games or Timeline Deadline is or whatever, but you have to give us something in the summer months to keep the kids interested, just to make sure everything is going. Because this holding pattern stuff, while good, is going to hurt talent in the long run.
Yeah. So, man, oh, man, oh, man.
But Dylan's a question. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I don't want to know.
The mystery part. Who did attack Noam Dar?
Oh, I thought it was Coffee. Or, I thought it was Gallus.
Nope. It was Noam himself. That's what I'm thinking.
Noam. It's funny, but you can't... You can't have Gallus show up and legitimately ambush and take out Ivar at the end of the show and have an attack at the beginning of the show and be like, oh no, that wasn't them as well. Like, that's just bad storytelling.
But the thing is, having Gallus attack Ivar and Joe replacing them and attacking Noam and then having the face Trick Williams says that Ava's a terrible GM then. Is he gonna let this Gallus get two matches off of injuring everyone in the roster? There has to be some kind of like consequence.
You would think. So, I mean, what do you think is next for Trick? Who's he end up facing at Battleground?
So that's the thing I'm trying to figure out, because I feel like that role would have been totally filled in by Dijak, but he's in the main roster now. And so there is no Amdar. That's going to be the next match. And then Josh Briggs to be that run with Trick Williams, because they are two beefy men. But after taking an embarrassing loss like that in North American title division, I'm not so sure anymore. But again, without an opponent, I can't tell you how strong Trick Williams is going to be.
Yeah, the story isn't fully there. But with Noam Dar, like, the direction it's going in is fun. It's not, but like, I guess this is smart on NXT's part. They're like, we know we can't possibly replicate the actual drama of what we just had between Melo and Trick. So let's just do something kind of wacky.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I like it. You like Noam Dar, don't you?
Yeah. I think Metaphor is a lot of fun. One of the coolest entrances in all of wrestling.
Still don't get how they got to be friends in the first place, but those questions will never be answered. It matters to me. It totally matters to me.
Maybe they were all hosting a podcast together backstage.
Didn't say that.
I don't know how they all that should be the next WWE Studios movie. How the Metaphor got together.
That to me, like, I know some people care about tag team members dressing alike. Like, you got to tell me why factions got together, which is the original problem with Final Testament for me. And Metaphor, like, just decided one day, hey, I'm from the moon, Super 11, Super 11. That's it. Come on.
That's why it's amazing when there's some reality to it, right? I mean, you have guys like Kevin and Sammy that came up together. Even how weird serendipity was it, like Enzo and Cass played basketball together a few times.
Kids. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just so happened like they were in a few ball games together. They both played b-ball at the same spot.
Okay.
You know, kayfabe, it sounds like it's more than it is, but in reality, it was like they legitimately knew of the other person.
They look like guys that would hang out together in the hometown. So I was like, I didn't even ask that question. But I see like a group like Diamond Mine. Yeah, you gave me 6 months to realize why you guys are together. I get it. And then like Metaphor comes out. You're like, wait a minute. What? Hey.
You need origin stories. Flobo needs origin stories.
Yes, I'm a character guy. When it comes to me, it is character first, the wrestling moves and holds second, storylines third. I can stick with a crappy storyline if I love the character, but if you can't tell me what they're motivating or what motivates them, then I'm out.
Okay. There you have it.
He's like, whatever. I don't care.
No, I agree with you, but let's talk about this main event. Because, look, we can dissect and figure out what went wrong with NXT, and more importantly, we can figure out how to fix it and save it. And I don't know about you, but I've got all night, and we're gonna just stay on this podcast, and we're gonna have a roadmap, and then what we're gonna do is somebody's gonna send this link to HBK because he's got me blocked on Twitter because somebody tagged me in some mean thing they said about him, and he just blocked everybody that was involved with it. But we're gonna get this to HBK, and HBK is gonna take our roadmap and save NXT.
That really happened?
Yeah, it's so weird. It's not like William Shatner where I get why he blocked me, but HBK, now, it was just weird blowback.
Now that's a backstory I like.
Yes. But let's talk about the main event. Lola Vice, Shayna Baszler going out to take on Natalya and Carmen Petrovic. Shayna said, Lola, stop dancing.
I'm with it.
It worked for No Way Jose.
Ooh, that's also too soon.
What'd you think of this match and Carmen pinning Lola? Carmen finally getting a high profile win on NXT.
So I'm happy for Carmen because it looked like she wasn't going to get a win to save her life, and I'm also happy for Natalya because she got back the heart punch, which Tank Abbott's like, yeah. But at the same time, though, I'm kind of bummed out that Lola and Shayna are breaking up. I do think that they could have a longer run. Maybe not so much like every week Shayna's being there, but when there's a big match, you could have Shayna come in and give her gi or whatever. But they're going to hot shot the underground match. So I'm torn. I'm good. I'm happy for Carmen and Natalya. Not so good for Shayna and Lola.
And I mean, in real life, Valerie Lareda, 25 years old, but in mixed martial arts competitions, 4 wins, 1 loss, 2 wins by knockout. So her versus Shayna, I mean, look, Shayna has had a much more impressive and extensive MMA career, but these two in an NXT Underground match makes a lot of sense. I don't know that the people are clamoring for it, but I think this is going to be pretty badass. And in fact, you know what we're going to get, Flobo? This is going to be the dream at NXT Battleground.
Okay.
We might end up with 3 women's matches and 3 men's matches and an equally balanced card.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. I'm in.
That like almost never happens in WWE. I think on the main roster, it happened once and it was the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that doesn't count. Because the Royal Rumble was like, yeah, that doesn't count.
It was 3-3 though. So it worked.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But I thought this was a good ending with them breaking up. I think Battleground, little unknown, different venue. Mm-hmm. NXT, little unknown. We're in a time of change. Change could be scary, but it can also be exciting.
I'm looking forward to it because I want them meaning the powers that be, to put NXT back on the road. I know you can't do 20,000 seat venues, at least not yet anyway, but I think it helps everyone if you take NXT and introduce the world or the country to these characters. And so Battleground's going to be great. I'm not sure if I was like you clamoring for an NXT Underground match so soon after the last one, which was like, what, a month ago? But hey, if there's anyone on the roster that can do it, it would be the MMA fighters, Shayna and Lola.
Would it excite you more if Shane O'Mac comes back to officiate it?
Him and Omos? Or was he Omos back then?
Was he named back then?
I like Raw Underground. Yeah, I think he was named as the doorman. Like that, like they tried to make it at a club. It was like performers.
There were dancers. It was a
there was dancers. It was like it was a mess, man.
That is the pinnacle example, Flobo, of something that is such a train wreck. I have the most sincere affection for it.
Agreed.
But you know what? At a certain point, I never would argue that it was good. It was just so bad. That's crazy that I will love it forever.
There are a lot of things that WWE does where I'm like, this is so dumb, but I love it. Like Velocity. This show's so dumb, but I'm in.
Well, there you have it. Flobo, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
Well, I am going to be stalking this guy. I think we're doing what, SmackDown this week? Are we on SmackDown this week?
Yeah. I might not be doing SmackDown this week.
Oh, boo. Right here in Wrestling Inc. The next 2 weeks, you're going to see a lot of me. It's going to be the SmackDown after show this week. And both King and Queen of the Ring. That's a mouthful. And Double or Nothing.
Awesome, dude.
Be on the after show with that as well.
I might actually be doing some Double or Nothing stuff and AEW stuff this weekend. So that's why I'm going to be around. But we got to figure out a plan for Battleground. We'll talk off the air. Okay, everybody. Have a great rest of your week. Tune in tomorrow for Dynamite, the go-home show. Well, the go-home Dynamite for AEW Double or Nothing. And we'll catch you back here next time. I'm Matt Klein Rubenstein. Take care, everyone.
Shout out to Dylan Matthews.
Yes.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.